Hi, this is, he said I had to do the introduction. So this is Izzy, I'm taking over the show now. Welcome back.
Welcome back?
What?
Did we just have a commercial break or something?
Yes. Like, I mean, I assume you've watched before, you know, if you're
watching. Welcome back, yeah.
If you're new, then like, subscribe now. You don't even need to know if the content is good.
There is a, I guess, a question or plan that we have to figure out about this show, which is, what should we eat during the show? Because some people have criticized me for eating during a show, and I've of course taken that with great maturity.
No, you haven't.
And will passive aggressively. No, so what should we eat during the course of the show?
Pringles.
Yeah, Pringles. What else?
Maybe like one of those, you know, the bag of Lay's, and make sure they're like only crumbs at the very bottom.
So you have to reach
your entire arm into the Lay's bag.
Nice.
Extra crispy.
I also think, now, when was the last time you ate peanut brittle?
I've never had peanut brittle.
Oh, do you remember? The closest thing we have to that, there was this
caramel.
British toffee
yes.
that we got. And it was, did we have it cold or something? It was
no.
almost impossible
it
to chew.
I straight up lost a tooth from that. So what happened was, I think it was 9 or 10. Maybe, no, I think it was 11. We got it from Bulk Barn or something.
Yeah.
I thought, I'd only had it like once before when it was molten hot from just put in the microwave for like a minute or something.
Yeah.
It was insane. So I'm like, okay, well, I assume it's not that old, so I can have a bite or two while it's like soft.
Yeah.
So anyways, I see it feels a little mushy, but ever, right? I bite into it. Now this is still when I have a few molars that I have not lost yet. And I bite into it, and when I open my mouth, my tooth just, it didn't fully pop out. That's the issue. And it wasn't even wiggly when I first bit into it, so I didn't think it was going to be an issue. And it hurt, but I couldn't tell anyone because I was sneaking it.
What?
Like, okay, I didn't think you guys would be upset with if I had, like, you know, one bite of, like, caramel. But I, you know, wanted to stay on the safe side. So I'm like, I'm going to suffer in silence. And when they get back, I'll just clean up the blood on my lips from that tooth.
It's the only food that would specifically be sponsored by dentists. In fact, I've bitten down on that. I've had it very rarely as an adult. I've bitten down on that to the point where I'm afraid to open my mouth for the exact same thing happening.
There was blood everywhere. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be like gross, but like, watch out when you eat that toffee, especially if you're a kid.
That is the only food that I will keep eating through blood, though. Like, it's that good.
No, it's not.
No, it's that good.
It hurt. It's not worth it.
No, but it's worth it.
No, it's not.
All right.
Only Subway is worth it.
You're just not committed enough to your candy. All right.
I'm sorry. I'd rather keep my teeth so that I can continue to eat candy that isn't going to like rip out my mouth.
Oh, do you remember we used to occasionally go out for Indian food? And we would get that really crispy light stuff at the beginning. It's called papadum.
No,
it was like it's like a big giant chip that's kind of oily and fried.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good to eat on the show. Or
Rice Krispies.
Human beings. What?
I'm sorry, what?
Rice Krispies? Rice not bad, Krispies. But they're a bit gooey, right?
Yeah, but like the crunch.
Nice. All right. So we've got an AMA going on here. And okay, is there anything you don't like about homeschooling?
Math.
What?
Math is evil.
When did you first feel this?
You're kidding.
No, come on. Why haven't you told us this before? Why keep these secrets, darling?
I'm not even, I can't.
Why be such a vault?
Okay.
It's revolting.
You know I hate math. You're being silly.
Yeah.
Look, math, it's objectively terrible. No, it's not a subjective opinion. Objectively.
Could you define objectively and terrible here, please?
Yes.
Would you?
No.
Okay. It does not, you know, see, here's the thing.
Objectively.
There's some stuff that you're so good at that you're actually above average in math. But because your language skills are so good, your debating skills, your arguing skills, your logic skills are so good, math feels like half a brain to you or less, right?
Less.
Because some stuff comes like super easy to you, right?
Yeah.
Like when challenged or if I'm ever wrong or happen, if I say something that contradicts something I said approximately 9 years ago, you're like, hey man, 9 years ago, you said the opposite.
No,
you said
14. I could hear from the womb.
That's right. No, so there's some stuff that comes really easy to you. So then the stuff that doesn't come quite as easy feels like,
yeah.
Sludgy, right? Yeah.
Sludgy, very sludgy. So with math, okay, look, I'm not opposed to learning fractions or like addition.
Well, you're partly opposed.
No, I know it's useful.
Partly opposed to using, like, you're a third to an eighth. I wish everyone could see that Medusa dead-eyed death stare you're giving me right now.
Okay, I'm okay with that because I'm going to use that in life, like day-to-day life.
Yeah.
If I'm ever having to slice a pizza on a spreadsheet, I will know where to put the pencil lines to divide into one third.
Please don't use analogies that make me hungry.
No, I'm talking about like the examples they give you in your workbook.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, like that type of stuff, you know, grade 7 and less, I understand learning it. Like I'm probably going to use that in month-to-month life. Maybe not every day, but you know, yeah. A couple times a year.
Yeah.
I can use that stuff. But when it comes to like algebra and like calculus, I'm not going to become like a rocket scientist or like an engineer or a mathematician. So like, I don't even want to become that stuff, and I probably wouldn't even pass the exams anyways. But so I don't see a point to learning that for me. Now, yeah. I understand if some people like love math and really want to learn it and are good at it, they can do that. That's totally fine. But for me, who I doesn't love math, doesn't want to become any one of those jobs, there's no point to learning it, at least
okay.
for me.
Let's be fair. It's not that you don't love math. It's that you actively view it as an existential enemy to life, progress, happiness, and joy.
It's objectively an existential enemy.
Objectively, right. So here's a funny thing. So when I was learning how to scuba dive, so when you go down, nitrogen bubbles form in your blood. In your blood, right?
Yeah.
And you have to rise very slowly, otherwise the bubbles grow and are very bad for you. You can die or whatever, right? And so they gave me all this complicated math about how far you're down, how long you've been there, and all that. And I went through all of this, and I had to know math for that, right?
Yeah.
But then at the end, the guy said, you know what, just don't rise any faster than your bubbles, and you'll be fine. And I was like, what? We just did like an hour and a half on math, and it's like, watch your bubbles, and don't rise any faster than your bubbles. It's like, well, that was helpful.
Yeah.
You were going to say?
No, I'm just saying, like, it's, you can... For some people, I totally understand learning math. And even if you don't want to become one of these jobs, but you just love math,
yeah. You
know, for some
people
reason,
do. Like
it if
just comes naturally
evil,
to them.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But it's just like with for me, I don't see any point to it because mm-hmm. I'm not going to come to the job. I don't like it. So why should I do it?
Right. So,
and
I mean.
It's like, oh, it's in the curriculum. You have to. And it's like, no, I don't. It's
I mean, I gravitated towards English and history and science a little bit, but. I wrote an English exam. My marks were high enough. I didn't even need to write the English exam to graduate.
Right.
But I went and wrote it anyway, just because I enjoyed that
extra
kind of
marks,
stuff.
Yeah.
But I remember they did notice my math was, I was kind of not super keen on math. And I remember went to the guidance counselor. Now, the guidance counselor is someone who helps you decide what it is you want to do with your life and so on, right? And he had this kind of dark little dingy office in the back of the school.
Sketchy.
With no windows.
Sus.
And he had like posters on the wall and he had like one little lamp in the corner and one fluorescent light overhead. And it was pretty tragic, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember going in there and the distinct thought rang out of my brain. It's like, why on earth would I take career advice from someone who ended up as a guidance counselor in a tiny, dingy little office?
Yeah.
It's like, I can help you get a great career. Oh, like yours. Anyway, so he had a poster over his office, like over his desk. And the poster was like, here's all the professions you can't get into if you don't know math.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, physicist, accountant, you know, all of this list of occupations. And I look through all of those. I'm like, I never want to do any of those.
Yeah.
Engineer. It's like, I don't know. I did end up being in software, but it wasn't a heavy math based thing that I did.
No.
But yeah, it's just, it's funny. I mean, I think it's good to have the discipline to do the things that don't come naturally.
Yeah.
But
no, here's the thing. I think that's okay too, but do it when they're actually necessary. Like, say,
well, no, but you don't even know if you can if you don't know the structure as a whole.
Right, but I'm not necessarily talking about math. I can't think of an example like right in the moment in my head, but...
Okay, we can wait.
No, stop.
Hang on, wait. I'm just kidding. And this, the evil camera.
What?
The camera that mom's not supposed to know about.
Okay, what?
The camera on your tablet.
Yeah, she knows about it.
But what can
okay,
I do?
Okay, so here's the thing.
Tell people if they don't know. This blew my mind.
Yeah,
it literally blew my mind.
I think, actually, I heard that Google's me adding it too, like built in for free, but whatever, don't use Google. So you can go search up like camera math or something, right? In the app store if you have an iPhone or iPad. And you install the app. Take a photo of any math problem you have. Make sure you crop out like, oh, if it says, oh, number 16 question, whatever,
yeah,
right? Because it will start trying to add that into your question. But you take a photo in the app and you click solve and it gives you the answer. And I have not had a single time that it was wrong, unless the photo came in like badly or like I forgot to crop something out, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I've never had a single issue with those. Always gets the answer. And if you pay a few dollars, you can see all the steps.
It'll give you all the steps
like,
to solve
like
it, right?
Like a few dollars every month, you get to see all the steps for any question you want.
Well,
so
do you remember
you make it even better? No,
you tried to take a photo of my IQ and you got a sideways 8.
Okay.
Which is a symbol for infinity.
So that means
infinity.
Mine is also there.
Yeah, fair.
Because I am your child.
We will be together in delusions.
Okay. Right.
What's your favorite subject to study in homeschool?
Probably English.
Yeah,
because especially
so.
When they give you, like, write a story or something.
Right.
Or not write a story or...
No. Like, for you, it's never write a story.
What?
There's always another word in there.
What?
Write a sarcastic story. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Write a story that will make your teacher cry.
No. Usually, so, I'm... Like, I'm okay. I don't mind writing. You know, it can be kind of fun and stuff, right? But I don't like showing it to other people. I don't know. I get embarrassed or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
But the only way I'll do it is if it's something, like, really silly and funny, like a short story that you have to write for, like, an assignment.
Yep.
Those are epic.
And they're very funny, actually. The ones you write are very funny.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So, I mean, obviously you haven't published it, but you did write a whole dungeon, a whole world, a whole set of, like, the towns and the factions
D&D.
And right, in Dungeons & Dragons.
We
so.
Still need to finish that one.
Yeah, we will, for sure.
But, yeah, I do like writing, so I'd say that's my favorite.
Now, I'm not sure I quite understand this question. We'll toss it out there. And what's that skeptical look?
Dad, oh, sorry, that's just your look. I've known you for almost 14 years. I can tell when you're being silly.
All right. No, seriously, I don't exactly know what to make of the question, but it's an interesting question. What's the end game of ducks?
I'm not sure what that means.
It's final,
like,
purpose? Like, what's the goal of ducks?
Of me getting them?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, I've talked about this on previous...
Duck army!
Yes! I plan to take over the world with ducks.
They swim, they fly, they dive bomb. Okay.
No, really. They can do. They can attack from all angles.
They can.
Land, water, or air. They are the most menacing. All you need to do is breed them for a few generations and you get a beast.
Right.
Okay, anyways.
Purpose of ducks.
So I plan, when I get older, to buy a few acres or whatever and buy a bunch of specifically Muscovy ducks and or call ducks.
And how many are you starting with?
I'm starting with 20.
Okay.
Maybe 10, maybe 20, but I want 20 because I want to get selection, and I'll buy them from a different farms to guarantee that I'm getting, like, different colors, different genetics, so that...
Diversity is a strength.
Yeah.
So you get 20 ducks. Now, is it going to be half Muscovies, half Pekins, or...?
No, I'm not getting Pekins. Pekins are terrible.
Right. Call ducks, sorry, half Muscovies,
yeah.
Half calls?
No, probably actually only Muscovies. I may get call ducks as, like, a side project because they're really cute and, like, chonk and chubby. But Muscovies,
for those who
I
don't know
with,
the word chonk...
Chonk is basically just fat, but like animal edition.
Plump. Plump. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it comes from the cats, our chonks or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, r/chonkers in Reddit.
Right, right.
So what I plan to do is, over a few generations, I want to breed a type of duck that is perfect for, like, as a pet. Because ducks right now, they're pretty good as pets, but you never know, like, especially if you're breeding one of the, like, heavily domesticated breeds that are specifically used for, like, eggs and meat and do not have usually very good relationships with people, you're going to get very skittish usually.
The duck's going to be skittish.
Ducks are going to be skittish. Now, if you get a duck that's, like, a Muscovy, which is a big duck, meaning they're higher up in the predator food chain, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So they'll be less skittish and they haven't been domesticated much. That's, you're not going to get a skittish duck, almost guaranteed. But I plan to make it 100% guaranteed that you aren't going to get a skittish duck. And I also want to breed them to be very pretty and appealing. Because right now, Muscovies, you call them face bumps. They're actually, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, the carnicles?
Yeah.
Ah!
Okay. They're like.
Tumors.
Okay, stop. So the males get very big ones. Females get very small ones. But the males, male Muscovy ducks, which are the calmest breed, in my opinion, also the prettiest. They get these carnicles on their face. At least I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, no, it's carnicles, yeah.
Yeah, and they're basically, they can come in black, kind of orangey or red, and they kind of look a little, they're like kind of warty, like a toad. And they just use it, pretty sure it's for when they get oil from their oil gland, like their waterproofing oil gland, because they're so big, they need it to spread it around their feathers more efficiently than just their beak.
Just so people know.
Yeah.
Above the tail feather is one gland which produces the oil that they have to get on their beak and then rub it on their feathers to stay dry in the water.
That's what they do when they groom, usually.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they're doing. I didn't even know that, by the way.
Yeah, I thought it was in their saliva, but it's actually from a gland above their tail.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, I plan to specifically breed these ducks to not need those carnicles anymore so that, you know, over a few generations, they'll diminish because they're kind of ugly. I don't mind them. I've gotten used to it. But a lot of people are like, ew, you know, like,
well,
you.
It's kind of thing. No, it's like the stuff on toads where you wonder or worry if it's going to transfer to your own skin.
like warts? They're not warts.
No. But I mean, it's that sort of feeling. I think that, you know, like it's like, is that an illness? It looks almost like an illness or a wound or some sort of,
to me,
you know,
it's kind of like what turkeys have on their face, but like a lot less ugly.
Okay.
But yeah, I plan to breed a duck or a breed of ducks that is perfectly suitable as a pet.
Right.
Very calm, follows you around, not aggressive, pretty, cannot fly because a lot of people don't have, you know, big backyards and don't want their duck trying to fly out to
a better
backyard.
So they stay bonded, they're affectionate, they're pretty, they're not going to fly away, and they're great pets.
And you can do this. I know a lot of people who have specifically bred, well, not, I don't know them personally or anything, but I know from online a lot of people have specifically bred ducks in just a few generations to create a new breed.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my end game plan for ducks.
And to sort of to spread the love of ducks around.
Yeah.
And I don't think people, I didn't know this before we had ducks, that they'll bond with you, they'll sit with you, you can pet them, you can feed them, they'll follow you around. I mean, even into adulthood. Oh, and we had a really, sorry, you were going
to say. Yeah, actually, a lot of ducks, so a lot of them won't follow you into adulthood, but I've noticed that especially Muscovy ducks, the ones I've just been talking about, very good at following way into adulthood.
Right.
Especially, you know, if you spend a lot of time with them when they're young, they'll consider you like a flock mate.
Yeah.
And the one we have right now, the adult, or her name is Donut. Whenever I try and take her out of her back coop, she gets really excited and runs around after me. So
we also, when we had the Pekins, we had an interesting theory as to why they get skittish when they become adults.
Yeah.
Go.
So Pekin ducks are the ones you'll find in restaurants, Chinese specifically. They're pure white, yellow beak. They're kind of like the standard duck. Pretty big. Maybe 10 pounds or so. But anyway, so the females...
But they're super fast maturing.
Super fast. They're bred to mature very fast so that farms can, you know, use them for meat at a very young age.
Yep.
Don't have to wait like 6 months like some other ducks.
Right.
Basically male Pekin ducks. This has become like a complete duck rant.
No, he asked. What's the end
game? He asked.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, male Pekin ducks are very skittish. And female ducks, female Pekins are very calm. Now, if you look back in history, farmers would kill the male ducks for food because, you know, you only need like one male in a flock of 50 females to produce a new generation of ducks.
Yep.
You can't have that the other way around, of course, right? So
it's the only species in which the males are disposable, though.
Totally. Don't look at movies for any other proof or anything.
No.
but yeah, so male Pekin ducks are very skittish and aggressive because, you know, they have to stay at the very back of the flock and be terrified of people in order to survive long enough to reproduce.
Yep.
And whereas if the female ducks are calm, they'll probably live even longer they might get higher priority, like more treats and stuff, if they run up to the owner and look affectionate.
And if you're the male duck, you live one more day, it might be the difference between your genes being passed or not. So they all run away when you become an adult. I think
males that were calm, were farmer just picked them up and was like, all right, dinner.
All right, so here's another question. Does Izzy do organized athletics with the general population kids or something similar? Always wondered what the dynamic between the two groups was like and if it generated any conflict. Oh, between, like, you and, I don't know, the normies or the regular school kids or whatever.
I don't like normies.
But you did, when you were younger, did a little bit of organized sports. There was that field day. You were super good at jumping. Do you remember the long jump?
Oh, okay, I'm going to, here, get ready for me to show off, okay?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, grade two, I think I was... Seven, six, eight, something. Probably seven, since my birthday's the end of the year. But, at like a field thing, right? there was a running long jump. I got 8 feet.
Yeah.
And someone who was like 2 or 3 years older than me got 4 feet.
Yeah. No, that was impressive. You were definitely good at the long jump. But we also practiced it a little bit.
Now I can only do like... 6 or 7 feet? Was it 9 feet or 7 feet?
I can't recall.
Probably, you know, somewhere in
between. Yeah, but it was big.
Yeah, I'm a good jumper. Not so great with stamina, but jumping is one thing I'm good at.
Well, we've tried a variety of sports. We do a little bit of pickleball now, but no, you're not particularly interested in organized sports.
No, I'm sure maybe when I get older, but right now we've never really found a good sport. And, you know, I'm pretty fit. Like, I stay pretty thin and stuff. But, mm-hmm. Honestly, I can do other stuff that I find more important than sports. I can't talk sports at the time being.
So I need you to look at this picture. For those of you, of course, you can't see it.
It's AI generated.
It's a picture.
Is it?
It's a picture now. It's a picture of a waterfall. Now, would you say
weird.
That is a high and dangerous waterfall?
Yeah.
Very high, right? Yeah. These are the trees, right? It's a long way down. Okay. So the question, you are casually hanging out on top of a waterfall and you spot 10 baby ducklings heading towards the drop off. A, let them fall because that's Mother Nature, or B, risk your life and try saving them.
Saving them. Because I have
no
great priorities in my life.
No. No,
I've already gotten in dangerous situations saving ducks.
Oh, you did. You did. Do you want to tell that story?
Which one?
Well, the one with the turtle.
Yeah, so there was a big snapping turtle kind of in like a lake at like an attraction, like a theme park place, right? And there were some ducks. I think they were mallards. They were mallards. And basically, the mom had, I think, 6 ducklings.
Was it more?
Only 6. Mallards can't have more than 8.
Yeah, okay, 6 ducklings,
Or rarely have more than 8. Anyways, I jumped over a fence because the snapping turtle was getting really close to where the ducklings were swimming. And I waded into the water and
chased away
literally
the snapping turtle.
Chased the ducks back onto the land.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So, yeah, you know, like, snapping turtles, what's the worst they can do? Bite off a finger? That's fine.
Right. No, I would consider it a good opportunity for them to be, to learn how to fly. All right.
No.
So, Izzy, have you ever seen your experience of being peacefully parented properly represented in any media you've consumed? Movies or books or anything?
I don't think so.
Well, here's the funny thing. So you will very rarely see, like, hitting children or really screaming at children. You very
almost
rarely see that.
Almost never in movies.
Well, not in kids' movies, for sure. Sometimes in adult movies. But you almost never see it. So in TV, and we don't really watch sitcoms, but on TV, when I was a kid, this is what was amazing to me, is that you'd see parents reasoning with their kids. You'd see parents, there was one show called Full House where there was a talking stick and you had to have the stick in order to talk so the people didn't talk over each other and everybody was peaceful and reasonable. And peaceful parenting was everywhere. And
never in actual
But family. Never in actual life. So people enjoyed watching peaceful parenting. And in fact, if you'd had, in one of these shows, if a child had actually been hit, people would have just, like, the whole show would have been shut down. People would have been appalled and so on. So it's always struck me as kind of odd that people want to see that kind of stuff, but they just don't usually live it. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen someone, like, on a movie or show not be, like, peaceful towards their kids. Unless it's, like, you're about to run into traffic and you need to, like,
grab the kid. Yeah,
yank the kid back or whatever, right? But
which method of learning has been the most helpful for you?
Just doing it myself. I'm very much a hands-on learner. Like, some people are a lot better with instruction. I'm better by just like, okay, well, you need to learn math. Okay, put me in a situation where if I don't know the math, it gets me an unfair result in something.
Right, right.
Like, I'll just make an example. People are usually, like, their skills just get increased. I'll just make a particular example with math. It's the one I know best probably, or at least I've heard the most. Like, say you're with your group of friends at a restaurant or something, and for some reason, somehow, there's a confusion when paying the bills, and you don't really know who ordered what, how expensive it was or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And you all don't want to check the menu because that'll take a while. It's a big menu, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So trying to split the price of the order, your math skills will kick in.
Mm-hmm.
You're given a piece of paper for no point and a pencil, do the math, your math skills are like, mm-hmm.
Right?
Now, this is actually like kind of proven from what I've heard. Like,
oh yeah, no. People, if you give people distribution problems for resources, they get the math intuitively. But if you ask them to do it,
reasoning problems. In
general, reasoning problems. I think you tell me, of course, your brain. But I think that if you look at the thousands and thousands of hours that we spent role playing, I think as far as problem solving and reasoning and debating,
that's kind of hands on.
Yeah, it's kind of hands on. So yeah, that's a sort of fantasy role playing. A conversation
like a
that we've had.
World,
yeah,
like, but like with usually without the fighting and more like a reasoning, like
you've
know,
got
talks
plans
about
and spells
it.
And all that.
No, plans are terrible.
plans in the moment.
Yeah, plans in the moment and you know, get spells and like I actually one of the best adventures I had because I learned a lot about politics at the time was in this world, Dungeons and Dragons world, I ended up trying to run for mayor against someone who was really bad.
Yes, that's
and,
right.
And it was a very fun adventure. I ended up winning, but it was close.
How many ducks are too many?
Actually, I'd say about 20. Any more, and it's too many. Because, look, if you have, like, a flock of 50 ducks or, like, 100 ducks, unless you're trying to take over the world with an army, then there's no point. Because if you have, like, more than 20, it's going to be hard to get to know each one of them.
Mm.
Now, I know this sounds silly. Ducks have personalities, just like almost all animals.
I mean, we've had how many ducks by this point? 10?
12.
12? Yeah.
We've had a few that passed away, but like the ones...
They do have different personalities.
Very different. Some of them are like silly.
Wait, did we only have one that passed away?
Two. Three in total. Waffle, Cinnamon, and Boba, the first one.
Right. Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. 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 You're right. So
two of those were ducklings, and one of those was
An adult.
Adult
hit by a predator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So we've had some of them are skittish. Some of them are very affectionate. Some of them are completely food oriented, like Dumpling.
Yeah.
Who was our fattest duck and very much lived up to his name of Dumpling. Very, very fat. Very food oriented.
Right.
You would give him, so at that time we had Dumpling, Pumpkin, and Buttercup, our first three ducks.
Mm-hmm.
They were very sweet. But basically, if you ever came out with like a snack, I used to give them grapes, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Dumpling would muscle all of his energy, run ahead of the other two, and just like attack the hand that had the grape.
Right.
So some of them food oriented, a little skittish. Some of them are very calm. Some of them get offended quite easily, like the duck we have now, Donut.
Yeah.
And one of them is very chewy, not in an aggressive way. We named her Nibbles. At least we think it's her. Still a duckling. We're not sure. But you hold out your hand, you will your skin will be like, this is food.
Yeah, yeah.
Just start eating it.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 20. Hello, Izzy. What are your thoughts on religion and God? Since your dad is an atheist, how did he talk about these things with you?
I don't remember too much, like, when I was young and you first started talking about it with me. Personally, I think...
We did the stories first.
Stories,
right,
yeah.
So do you remember we did the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
And we would fantasize about the chocolate waterfalls and the marshmallow
rocks. Yeah,
like how
perfect it would be.
How perfect it would be, everything you'd want.
Yeah.
We did Noah's Ark. We did a lot of the different sort of Bible stories.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to know the stories because they're, you know, very important to our culture as a whole.
Well, I'm going to talk about Christians specifically.
Yep.
I think, like, personally, I don't believe in God, but I think the morals that Christians follow are very good. So I'd say overall, I think out of people we've known versus atheists versus Christians, mm-hmm. all the Christians have been much nicer.
Much more. And so, they have a sort of solidity and a loyalty to them. Atheists tend to be kind of, oh, they're like pecans. But when they get to be breeding ages, like, they're just skittish, right? Kind of nervous, right?
So yeah, personally, I would say I think religion is a good thing just because it gives you good morals, like, you mm-hmm. know, depending on the religions, but yeah.
Right. Do you dream often? What are some of your weirdest or most fantastical dreams?
I do dream pretty often.
Yep.
Usually, I don't really say anything about my dreams, or I forget them really fast.
You kind of have to think of them after you wake up, or they just kind of vanish, at least for me.
Oh, yeah, I had a dream, like, 2 days ago or something. I thought of it, like, 5 minutes after I woke up. If I really thought about it, I could remember, but I have no clue what the dream was about.
Right. Now, have you, when was the last time you had a nightmare?
I don't know. Like, a lot of dreams are complete roller coasters for me.
Yeah.
Like,
no, but something where it's like, you're really scared. Maybe parts, you forced yourself to wake up or something.
Some parts it's like, they're like good. Like, in a certain dream, it's like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
And then literally, like, as it feels in dream time, 5 minutes later, I'll be in a terrifying situation.
Right.
Just complete roller coaster.
Yeah.
I have this weird thing. Now, I only actually know, I recently met one other person who kind of has the same thing. But I usually know when I'm dreaming.
Mm.
Like, I can be in a dream and think, oh, this is great. And then I'm like, nah, this is a dream. There's
and
no way I'd have
50 up.
Salamanders in my bedroom in a tank.
And you have the will to make yourself wake up if you need to, usually,
yes.
right?
So whenever I get into a situation, like, usually I don't know if I ever, like, get into a scary dream. Because usually I'll be in a dream, and after a bit of time, I'll be like, this is kind of weird. Am I dreaming kind of... it's never like that clear, but I'll just get a sense, oh, I'm dreaming.
Right, right.
It's almost never an actual thought. It's like, I am dreaming right now. But...
But there's something unreal about.
Yeah, so yeah, I kind of just assume this is fake.
Right.
But, so, if I ever get into a situation that, like, makes me nervous or something, or I don't like, then I usually just force myself to wake up, so I could never really tell if I got into a super scary situation.
Right, right, right. Okay. And I would say, at least from your reports, although we don't talk much about your dreams, but I can't remember the last time you said, oh, I had a real nightmare last night or something.
Well, that's because
like
that. I always wake up before I never, right, oh, right. I ever know if it's right. a nightmare. Like, if the moment I get, like, unease, stop. The moment.
Did you hear
Why
that?
Why are you doing chicken noises? Okay, I'm putting my hand over his mouth.
Because your dreams are too scary. I'm just kidding. It's
no,
fine.
Like, the moment I get, like, unnerved about something, that's how you say it, right?
Yeah, unnerved,
okay.
yeah.
Like, the moment I find something creepy, I'm out of there. Because, like, I don't want a
What's
nightmare.
What's the point? Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not good for that. All right. Hey, is he? This is from, oh, look at that. Her name is It's a picture of a swan.
Oh, nice.
Nice, too.
Yay.
Okay, so she says, what would you say are some of the most important lessons personally to you that you've learned throughout your life?
I'm just going to start off with one. I wouldn't count it as a lesson. Mm-hmm. I'd say more of an ability, drawing.
Yes, skill.
And animating.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a good skill to have, but that's not really a lesson. I don't really know of like an individual lesson.
I could think of one.
What?
Trust your instincts, not your parents.
Oh, very much true.
No, actually. I'm going to have to explain this to you in slow, great detail.
Okay, go ahead.
No, it's fine.
Okay, so basically, like, we've met some people and stuff.
Over the years.
Yeah. Over the years, you're just going to run into some bad people, right? Or some kids specifically. So I saw this one kid. I'm not going to get into too many details or whatever, right? But basically, I just got like, that kid is going to be bad.
The kid is trouble, right?
Trouble.
Yeah.
I just had the way she was standing, the way she was like talking to her parents, and like the way she flipped her hair, I was just like, ugh.
And you were very young at this point.
I was 3 or 4.
Yeah, yeah.
I think 3.
Yeah, and you had some nervousness, but the parents seemed pretty nice. They were peaceful parents. They knew the show and were very positive about it.
Anyways, you were guys like, oh, let's go talk to them. And I'm like, no, I don't want to. They don't seem good. Anyways, yeah, that turned out bad.
And unfortunately, I've been right
every time.
Well, unfortunately, and this is, you know, my apology to you, is that when a kid is hesitant, what's the big story the parent will say about the kid?
What? Oh, they're shy.
Just shy. She's just a little just like,
and
no,
I was
no, no.
Shy
ma-
too, but
no,
yeah.
You definitely were shy at that point, but we gave that a shot and it didn't work out super well.
No.
Now, other kids you've had, and I think there's really only been 2 negatives, right? 2 negative kids.
3.
Okay. So I'm thinking of the other one, when you get competitive with a kid, that's not a good sign for long-term compatibility.
No, especially if the kid is like 8 months older than me,
yeah.
And
yeah.
You're young, so that's like a big difference.
Yes, because you will do a little bit of poking with regards to status. And
it's only if I don't like them, though. If I get competitive, it's going to be like fun competitive. Like, yeah. I'm going to joke about stuff they aren't like insecure about or whatever, right?
Right.
But yeah, if it's a kid I don't like or I find like a rival,
yeah,
it gets a little
competition is usually,
say.
I mean, the friendly competition is fun, but when it gets kind of grim, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
All right. Hello, Izzy. Would you consider being an entrepreneur instead of working for someone? Your dad has done well for himself in that area. I'm sure you can too. Maybe start with a YouTube channel with a focus on the ducks. No need to film yourself. What do you think?
Yeah, I would never. I honestly, like, I'd only work for someone as like a starter job. I kind of want to be a barista when I get old enough, like at a coffee shop or something. Although you have to be like 15 and get like a parent sign of approval or whatever. It's just like,
you don't think I'd get an approval for you working at a coffee shop?
Yeah, I know you would, but it would be like a bunch of like issues of like paperwork, but
wait, hang on.
What?
Okay. So you, let's say you get a job at a coffee shop, right?
Yeah.
And you've seen those pictures of really, 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 really complicated orders. I would make them more complicated. Like, I would come up in the drive-thru.
Dude, I wouldn't be surprised if these like Starbucks places just throw in a bit of stuff and like, here you go.
This is the big blender, right?
I would not be surprised. Like, who's gonna give you like 1 shot of erythritol, 1/2 shot of like vanilla, 2 shots of strawberry, a tiny bit of vodka just for fun, you know, some sugar, 6.5 packets of cream. Packets of cream, we don't get into details. And like, you know, some whipped cream on top with like 10 vanilla sprinkles. It's like, okay, just throw some stuff in there. They're not going to know.
Well, here's the funny thing. So, I mean, certainly looking at me, you have no idea what it is to work for a living. Like, you have no idea.
No, I really don't.
Because I love what I do.
Yeah.
And I work from home. I'm my own boss. I, to some degree, set my own schedule and so on. So it's a little tough. Because a lot of the work...
I don't plan to work for someone like 9 to 5.
Yeah, and certainly not for long, right?
No, like, I'll do it for maybe a year or two at most, when I'm like, you know, under 20. And then, well, by the time I'm like 25, I hope to be married or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I'll get a farm hopefully somewhat young.
You've got older parents. We can't wait for grandkids.
I know.
We can't wait for grandkids. Izzy, what do you think? Oh, this is going to be a tough one. You might need a little bit of time to think on this
one.
Okay. What do you think of prohibitions on child labor?
Prohibition. Yeah, okay.
Personally, I find or found it and the common attitude towards it very frustrating and stagnating. The argument is you got to avoid exploiting children, the poor children. So, and when would you have liked to have gotten a job?
By now.
No, but before
like,
you
probably
were
probably 11.
Yeah, around the age of 10 or 11, right?
10 or 11, yeah.
You started wanting to get a job.
Well, that's when I was like, okay, well, I have some free time on my hands, especially because I'm homeschooled. I don't have, most of my friends are online at that point.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like, oh, well, I have a meetup at this certain time. It's like, hey, does anyone want to play a game? And usually a few people would be around.
Yeah.
So, I didn't have a huge schedule. I'm pretty available because I'm homeschooled. So, I'm like, okay, well, I could do a job, part-time job or something would be nice.
Absolutely.
But it's like, no, I have to wait another 6 years or something.
Yeah.
Especially, like, even if you're working as, like, a waitress and there's, like, some alcohol in, like, the back depths of the kitchen.
Yep.
Like, you can't get a job till you're 18.
I think 19.
18 or 19.
Yeah.
That's silly.
Yeah, it is.
It's not like, what are you going to do? Walk out of the kitchen and just take a swig of the alcohol? Like,
well, no, but so workers already have jobs. They want to keep kids out of the marketplace. Why?
Kids, oh, okay, got it. If you have, sorry, I've thought of this before, but just clicked in my head again. So if you have kids working, right, before they get taxed.
Yep.
Then they're going to be like, oh my gosh, great, whatever, I just got insert amount of money from my paycheck, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, they hit 18, I think that's when taxes kick in, right? And they're like, hold on.
Well, you'll get some taxes earlier. Yeah.
I just lost half my money.
Well, and also, if kids are in the workforce, it'll drive down the wages of people who don't have a lot of skills.
And yeah, and adults. Yeah. Like, I don't see an issue. Like, all these, like, smart kids and stuff, right? It's like, oh, well, you immediately have to go to a great job after college, right? No. Teenagers should be doing, like, the manual labor and stuff and, like, you know, working at, like, a McDonald's. Not, like, you know, some 30-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Like, because those are temporary jobs. Those aren't jobs that you have to get
good
at. It probably takes, like, a week of training to learn how to take an order.
Right. Now, what is one of your earliest memories? Was it a happy or sad one?
Earliest, I think we were in New York. And there were these big lights that something was shining up into the sky. You know those white ones?
It was the anniversary of 9/11, I think it was. And they had those blue lights going up.
Whitish blue.
The whitest blue lights going up to replace the twin towers that were taken down by the airplanes.
Yes, and there were a lot of them. Not just like two, there were many more, I think.
Well, it was lights around, but those were the two big columns going. That's when
we
got the...
Mom and I were walking around trying to find it. I think you were doing some work or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got, I just remember that, walking around trying to find it. I think
and
I
that's where
two.
We got it was like a plastic glass butterfly.
And it had this Chinese song.
It had lights and it had this Chinese song. And yeah, that was a fun trip. That was a great trip.
Dude, if I ever heard that song again, I bet it'd be so nostalgic.
I bet it would be, yeah. okay, we're going to have to skip this one.
Nope. I'm going to take the tablet.
What book series or authors did you enjoy reading or being read to at a young age? Earliest you can remember.
Okay. It actually got sent in by a listener, and then another listener, not knowing we already had it, also sent it in.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Click Clack Moo. I was 4, and it was this thing about cows going on strike.
Yep.
Because they wanted heated blankets.
Yes, that's right.
And then at the very end, and I only learned this because I glanced through it a couple years ago just for like memories or whatever, right? At the very end, there were a bunch of Pekin ducks who also went on strike for laying eggs because they wanted a diving board.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
But I just remember that being like one of my favorite books. There was also this one about like a cat getting milk at night. Like they wanted.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah. I was always like 2 or 3 and I really liked it.
Yeah.
Man, I feel like whenever I talk to, like, older people, like, adults or whatever, about, like, young memories, they're always like, you can remember stuff from that age? And I'm like, I'm lying?
you wouldn't believe how many callers I get. Now, some of them have had pretty bad childhoods.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe how many callers call into my show, and they're like, I can't remember anything really before the age of 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Like, it's a void.
Yeah.
Whereas I can remember 20 months, 22 months. I can certainly remember not being able to walk.
Really?
I very much, clearly, because I remember being teased by someone and being frustrated that I couldn't get up and leave the situation.
Wow, okay,
yeah.
I don't remember. I remember like 2, I think, but not that young.
All right.
Maybe.
Any other, well, we did The Hobbit, but any other book series that
no,
or authors
why
that,
did you ask?
Book, or authors that, okay, should we just move on from that?
Wings of Fire.
What?
Wings of Fire. I've talked about this probably every single show.
Do you want to give, you know, for the new listeners a little?
Okay, so this was a dragon series. So far, the main...
All about negotiation, peace, and reason.
Actually, in the end, yeah.
Okay.
But for a good chunk of it,
bit of a bloody
like
set of footprints to that, but no, right, go
ahead. Yeah. It's basically this dragon series. Now, for some reason, when you look at it in Kindle, it says 8 to 12
for
the 8.
Not good for 8, I think.
Dude, it's maybe 11 to 15, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not for 8-year-olds. I read that when I was 9 and I was a little horrified.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not like one of those little, I wasn't like a 9-year-old who was like
you
queasy.
Squeamish.
And, no,
yeah,
I wasn't squeamish or queasy.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, that's horrible.
Yeah, yeah. It was a bit intense for little kids. But you would really recommend that for the older kids, right?
I'd say 10 plus.
Yeah.
It depends. Like if you're a boy, honestly, who are it's usually less squeamish and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say go ahead and read it maybe late 9 or something.
Right.
But if you're a girl, I'd maybe wait till 10 or 11. It depends what type of girl you are. But maybe 10, I'd say, is a good starting age for that book series. And here's a tip. When reading the books, stop at book 10.
It gets kind of woke after that,
really,
right?
Really woke.
Yeah, yeah.
Mega super duper woke. And it's the type of woke, since I was never like in school and stuff, and I didn't know about all the woke stuff that was going on when I was like 11, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's when I was reading at 10 or 11. Is when I was started reading the woke part of the series. I just kind of thought it was like, oh, well, those two dragons are best friends because, like, they're the same gender or something.
Yeah, yeah, yep, yep.
So I didn't even realize it until recently. I'm like, hold up.
hold a phone.
Yeah, so, yeah, stop at book 10.
Maybe, well, or at
don't
least,
even go
at
into
least,
the prologue of book, sorry, epilogue of book 10. Just
stop. Or at least talk about like what's going on so that you're aware of the sort of...
Yeah,
there's,
just
there's
stop.
Some propaganda,
no,
I think,
even,
in there
like,
later.
Even the actual story. The only good one from book 11 to 15, I'd say, was book 12.
Okay.
Least woke and my most likable character,
good
probably.
Adventure stuff,
good
right?
adventures. Very much, you know, actually, in that book, they were talking about, like, don't listen to propaganda.
Yeah, well...
Considering...
So, here's another one. hi, Izzy.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Was there ever an important lesson your father tried to teach you that you initially rejected but learned the hard way through experience?
No.
If so, was there something missing from Steph's lesson, a way of framing the argument, for example, that could have prevented your initial rejection of it? I know parents can't convince their kids to listen to them in all cases, but I want to know what young girls are most receptive to so I can have the greatest impact, peacefully, of course, if I ever have a daughter. That's a
no,
good question.
No, because I was a perfect child who would never disobey her father.
We have it on record that you were
silence.
Mauling... that you were mauling the candy without... prior authorization. No, I'm kidding. It's
that
fine.
Was never...
No, I don't think so.
I actually don't think so. I think usually, like, if
I've learned some stuff from you,
if
for sure.
I was skeptical of something, I'd just be like, uh-huh, and just nod and smile or whatever, and then maybe learn it, but I can't really remember because I don't think I ever said it. I was just like, oh, he's wrong. He'll learn one day.
Honestly, I mean, it sounds kind of silly, but I can certainly think of things that I rejected, such as your initial impressions of some of your early friends, that I rejected, and I learned through harder experience.
Yeah.
But I can't think of it honestly going the other way. That's interesting.
Take advice from the 6-year-old at the
no,
time.
No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Izzy, your father recently leaked that you have written and directed a movie. I as well have been working on a feature-length 2D movie using
nice.
Procreate and Toon Boom.
I've heard that.
It's very hard and time-consuming craft. So my question is, what network and studio would you apply for if given the opportunity?
Like, to work at?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. Probably none.
Well, okay, what are the guys who made Shrek or, like, things that were...
Maybe Pixar,
yeah.
If I had to work at one, but...
DreamWorks? I don't know.
Pixar.
Yeah.
No, DreamWorks made Shrek. I don't know, Shrek was a good movie. We haven't seen it decades.
Yeah, yeah,
but
okay.
I just remember loving it when I was, like, really little. Let's see, I wouldn't want to work at those because, like, I don't do 3D modeling. I've, like, kind of been interested in it, but, like, I don't really have a laptop that can run anything a little more complex than Minecraft.
Yeah.
Even Minecraft, it does, like, 15 frames a second sometimes. It's a bit old, you can say. Let's see. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to work at any of these places. The most I do is work for, like, a company, like, one of the apps I use or something to
to build the tools for...
Yeah,
okay,
so, like,
yeah, yeah.
Add stuff. Like, dude, you're the... Like, okay, I do this one. I'm gonna say the app. It's called iArtBook, I think. I think it's called iArtBook. And it has an animation feature. And it's really great for animation because it has a lot of tools that other apps, like, I'll say Flip-A-Clip, which is the one I started on, doesn't have. Like, Flip-A-Clip's good for, like, features, but not so much for drawing. Like, it's very pixelated a lot of the time.
Yeah.
They don't have great tools. They don't even have an airbrush, for goodness sake. At least I don't think they have. I haven't been in the app for a while.
Yeah.
But if we go to, like, iArtBook, they have way better features for drawing, like an actual drawing app.
Yeah.
And they have animation. I think the animation could, you know, use a lot of work. Like, dude, add the ability to layer in audio for your animation so I don't have to do frame counting and then frame drawing when I'm trying to animate talking.
What does that mean?
Probably a word salad to you. So basically what I'd have to do, if I ever animated, well, I've done some animations that used voice acting and stuff, right? Now, in the audio, say this person said a sentence, right?
Yeah.
That I needed to animate with a character. I would count the frames in the sentence. So, like, when he said hello, maybe that took 5 frames or something. And then I'd have to animate it based off the times he said hello in the other app.
Okay.
With no audio reference, aside from the one in the different app. So I'd have to switch back and forth.
It doesn't let you layer audio in?
Flipaclip does. iArtBook doesn't.
Right.
So I'd have to export it and then sometimes slow it up or slow down the animation to match with the audio if I got it wrong.
Wow.
That's the only time math was useful. And see, I was okay doing that because it helped me and it was fun.
Right.
But
so you'd like to build better tools for other artists.
If Flipaclip and iArtBook combined, it would be the best app ever.
Right.
You guys should like collaborate or something.
Well, just, you know, glue 2 tablets together.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, here's one that I doubt you'll answer.
Why is my dad so cool?
Yes.
Because he plays Among Us sometimes. Right. No kidding. Why is he cool? I don't know. Peaceful parent, like, does philosophy, has like mild British accent that I can't even hear because I was like raised by him or something.
Right.
I've heard he has an accent. I sometimes hear it when he says tomato.
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 What is something you disagree with your parents on? Now, can I tell you? I'm not saying this is a troll. His name is...
Oh, I play games with him. I know him. I know that dude.
How did he get a picture of me when I was younger? That's what I don't understand.
I know him.
It's an interesting, because here's the thing, right? So if you say, well, there's nothing I really disagree with my parents about, then
that's,
people will think...
That's not true.
You don't have any choices of your own. You don't have any decisions of your own. Think for yourself. Right?
I don't have any decisions.
Yeah, you don't. But the other thing, too... We have disagreements, but we'll try and talk about them, and they're fairly rare.
I disagree with a bit of the stuff with homeschooling, like math.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't say there's, like, too much I disagree on. Like, you know, usually stuff will come up where I'll be like, you guys are objectively incorrect.
Yeah.
There's no way of, you know, saying subjective. Like,
yeah.
You know, if I have an opinion, the entire world shares the same opinion.
Absolutely.
You understand. So, and then usually, like... If I actually have to try and think about situations like that, my brain just is like, nah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think our disagreements that are any, like, as opposed to, like, well, what do you want to do this afternoon? We'll have some disagreements. But anything
yeah,
that's serious,
wrong.
It's really maybe once or twice a year, and we'll try and resolve it.
I don't think we've even had, like, one this year or something.
No, I think that's right. Is there any way you plan on parenting differently from your parents?
Yeah. Like,
Math.
A little, yes.
No way.
A little less strict from the female side of the parents.
Your aunt?
Mother.
I think you mean your aunt.
Dude, you know, if your kid wants to go out in minus, like, 20 degree weather and doesn't want to wear track pants, let them freeze to death. Not kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
No, like, I mean, that's their own time to learn. I'm sorry. And, like, don't hold it over them and don't be like, see, I told you. Because
no,
then they're
I,
never,
yeah.
they're, then they'd rather freeze to death. But
yeah, I think let kids learn a little bit more from experience.
A lot more from experience. And, yeah, I do a little less. Like, after grade 7, I have not learned anything useful in terms of the math side. Maybe some English stuff. But, like, dude, I don't, like, you know, if I write a sentence, like, having, like, to know, like, oh, this word's going to be a noun and this one's, like, an adjective or something and, like, a verb. And, like, I don't need to know that stuff. Like, I'm not going to become, like, a professional writer. And if I am, I'll just watch a 10-minute video on it.
So the most
YouTube's
of the parenting,
always correct.
Most of the parenting difference would be to do with homeschooling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Izzy, do you think it's gross to eat a diet consisting of raw eggs? I think baked salmon with olive oil is a better dish, for example. Wouldn't you agree? James P. doesn't agree with me. What the heck is that all about?
Can I see?
What? Did I get that right?
Yeah. So, James P., also known as his moderator. I'm pretty sure he still does something known... What the heck is that profile picture?
I think it's from Beauty and the Beast. Anyway, go on.
No, I think that's from Aladdin.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
With a bunch of eggs in the background. What the heck? Who drew that? Like, why did the animators draw him that way?
I don't know.
What the heck?
Okay, but what does this question mean?
Okay, you know slonking, like slonking raw eggs. This is when, for people who don't know, it's the disgusting act that some people think is very delicious of getting a bunch of raw eggs. You know, like, obviously, most of the times, without the eggshells, to my knowledge. Putting them in a blender, sometimes adding stuff, sometimes just drinking them raw. But usually you'll add, like, some vanilla flavoring, a banana, maybe even a bit of ice cream if you're feeling, like, sugary. And then drink it. Like, raw, it's like drinking batter, like cake batter, but, like, without the other stuff.
Cake batter is, like, the one ingredient called eggs.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
You understand. No, like, you're a little bit of vanilla extract and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, like, all the liquid ingredients of cake batter and right. just consuming. Yeah. I disagree with some people about this. They're incorrect.
Objectively or subjectively?
Objectively. I think you guys are getting a theme here.
I regret teaching you the difference between objective and subjective because now nothing is ever subjective for you. It's all objective.
Silence.
Objectively.
Nah. Yeah. A lot of people, not a lot of people, some crazy people think drinking raw eggs is good. Now, I'm not saying it's bad for you. I'm just saying it's, you know, kind of disgusting, in my opinion. Now, I'm not, like, a super queasy person or anything. Like, I'll eat eggs, just not, like, raw ones, because it's not even...
Have you ever tried it?
No, it's not even,
Have you tried tasting it from...
Oh, yeah. It's not even, like, the thought of it that grosses me out. Like, oh, it's raw.
Yeah.
It's just the taste is disgusting.
Yeah. And it's funny, it's one of the few foods, like if you have cake batter, it tastes pretty good, and cake tastes pretty good.
Cookie yeah, because it's all sugar.
But eggs is like, it goes like 5 seconds into sauce, or 5 minutes in a saucepan, it goes from absolutely disgusting to really good.
Yeah.
Like if you have fried eggs or whatever, right?
Guys, I've made this for ducklings. I'm back to ducks again, you're welcome. No, seriously, stop. Ducks eat eggs.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Sorry. Ducklings specifically.
They would, right?
Because
sure.
It's really good for them because they just came out of the egg.
It's their first meal.
Yeah.
Right?
So here's what you do. If you ever get ducklings, and especially if one of them's not doing so well, like maybe a little lethargic, you know, not energetic enough.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. Get some eggs. One egg. One egg would work. Put it in a pan. Scramble it up into like really small pieces. Do it to the point where it's just a little extra brown, like a little more burnt than you'd want yourself. As you're doing this, a pinch of like shredded cheese.
Right.
Because dairy is good, like calcium for their bones and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just a tiny bit. And also they love the cheese. So adding that in, they really like it. So they'll eat it even if they aren't too hungry.
Right.
And a tiny, tiny bit of milk too, I usually add in. Now, I'm not sure if the milk is great for them. I've read it's not bad for them, but they do it. I add it because they really like it.
Right.
And then what you do is you put a tiny bit of salt, tiny bit, and then some spinach on top, cut up into small pieces. You give it to your duckling. They will love you forever, and they'll also probably get better from whatever, you know, they're not doing well with.
Right, right.
Eggs are just amazing for young ducks, and even adult ducks. So if you ever have ducks, make them some scrambled eggs.
They'll be happy. Now, here we get into dangerous territory for you.
I'm always dangerous.
Dangerous
territory.
And difficult territory. So this is from a guy. Let me tell you why he's asking this question.
I can't look at your screen now?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
So he wants to learn from you so he can be a better dad for his kids. So the question is, as a daughter, what is the number one thing you appreciate about your dad? Be as detailed as you're comfortable with. I want to learn from you so I can be a better dad for my kids. So he's trying to ask for how he can be a better dad.
Okay.
Now, how comfortable are you in general with providing praise and positive feedback?
No.
Okay. having lighted matches stuck between your toes or providing praise and positive feedback?
I'll just sacrifice the hand.
Okay, it's very reasonable. Is there anything that you want to share? I can leave the room.
Get out.
If there's anything that you want to share
usually
with this
I'd
guy.
Say, like, the best thing is don't be, like, strict or tense. Like, if you
high strung, yes.
No.
Panic, yes.
No, like, you know, if your kids, like, just bribe them with candy, they'll like you. Not kidding. no, but, like...
Well, so hang on.
I personally just say don't be like too tense. Don't be too.
What do you mean by tense?
Like, don't be like if your kids are like want to be spontaneous.
I mean, what if you're going
something?
Camping? There's a lot of people and you need two tents.
Okay, silence. Once
okay,
again.
We'll do.
No. So, like, say you're out somewhere and your kids are like spontaneous and they're like, oh, let's go get lunch somewhere or something, right? And
yeah.
Like, don't be like, no, we can't do that. Like,
if
don't,
your kids are too loud in a restaurant or something,
don't
right?
have like a one track. Mind kind of right like the song to get
right
that's a music reference, you might not get it.
A what reference?
Music reference.
I don't get it.
One track mind, like me. Do you know?
A one track
mind. Yeah, you
like
always
me.
Sing
I'm
that.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you not?
I'm back. I'm back.
No, don't really don't have a like one track mind. Like if you're like, oh well, I planned for lunch at the house, kind of. Now if you've already made the whole meal and stuff, then be like, no, there's a meal. But like,
be spontaneous.
Be spontaneous. You know. Again, honestly, the main thing, just don't be tense. Like, don't be like really high strung and unwilling to like change ideas. And you know, if your kid wants to try something new, just indulge.
And if your kid does like used to like something and doesn't like it now, like that happens with food, right? There's stuff, there's foods that you kind of go in and out, like phases of the moon.
Yeah, like with quiche, food, right? I loved it when I was a kid. And then for a few years there, I thought it was the most disgusting meal on the planet.
Just roll with it.
Just like the texture was like, bleh. And then I started eating it again. I'm like, hey, it's not too bad.
So don't be tense. Anything else?
Oh, wait, don't be like smug or don't have like a British accent. No, I'm kidding.
I can't do either of those.
Yeah, I know.
No, so don't be tense. I think it's clear to you that I really enjoy your company.
Yeah.
And of course, if like, you don't have to say it necessarily. Like, you've taught me a lot about how to show affection without having to say it, right?
Yeah.
But I think if your kids know that you really enjoy their company and really look forward to spending time with them and have their best interests at heart, it's going to be pretty fun, isn't
it? Well, I feel like, I was just going to say, yes. I feel like a lot of kids would like try and make a joke or something or like do something that they don't necessarily know is actually like rude. Like, I don't mean like inappropriate, I just mean like not nice and stuff. So I would say like, ask them like, what did you mean by that?
Right, as opposed to, you shouldn't say that.
Yeah. Right, because like they may have heard it from a friend or whatever, and where in their household that was considered like funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But
don't judge to negative before getting information.
Right? Yeah. So personally for me, I just say like, kind of be affectionate and be like spontaneous and fun. Mm-hmm. Like just random affectionate, like just randomly go up to your kid one day and just like tickle them.
Well, so for instance, I came out of the garage and I was singing today.
Really loudly. And I was trying to watch educational video on ducks.
So Izzy was trying to watch something and you had headphones on, right?
Yeah.
So I'm walking up the corridor. You're on the couch.
I don't listen at loud volume
at all.
No,
you don't.
So like, it's hard to hear if there's background noise.
So I was walking up the hallway and you got your headphones on. And what do I see from your left hand?
I press with two fingers the middle of the headphone closer to my ear so I can hear it and like muffle more. Because my headphones very... not muffled, like the background. Like if I'm listening to music, I can, if someone has like talking next to me or even across the room, I can make out every word they're saying.
Right.
And I love that. I don't like the headphones that just completely cut out everything around me.
So I'm singing Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming in and I see you press
the
your headphone
to my ear.
In. So as a sign of affection, what did I do?
You go to the...
I stopped singing so you could hear.
Uh-huh.
And then...
I continued pressing because I thought you were about to sing again.
Yeah.
You go to the other ear while I'm watching the video, which is actually educational about laws on, like, you know, waterfowl and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And you start singing next to the other ear.
Yeah, because I was concerned that you couldn't hear from one ear, so I went round to the other ear and sang right next to your eardrum.
Yeah.
Just so that I think...
I was trying to learn laws about if you can legally take ducks from the park. And, you know, if a duck is here educational, you can show this to your kids as homeschooling. No, so say you're having, we'll say geese or ducks, right? And there's a domesticated goose, like an African goose, or say a khaki campbell duck, which is just like a brown type of duck, at the park. And they're very calm, very clearly domesticated ducks. You can legally take them because they're not allowed to be there in the first place. Now, once you have them, you can't release them again.
Right.
But... you know, the ducks at the park are free. You can take them. The government doesn't want you to know that.
That's right. That's a meme, right?
Yes, it is a meme.
All right. What is Izzy's side of the story regarding the candy wrappers found in her room?
Yes.
The candy wrappers.
Now, for some reason, my parents did not quite believe this story, but I'm sure you guys will have more compassion and understanding. So, listen. Aliens. So, here's what happened. I was in my room one night with my candy stash over in my closet.
What candy stash?
Silence. I saw a UFO outside my window somehow at like 3 a.m. I just, you know, happened to wake up and like see it or whatever.
Sure.
And then some, you know, aliens or something came in
something.
And just decided to, you know, ignore me and like take the candy and then they ate it and then they're like, what would be a good hiding spot to get her in trouble? So they put it in the vents.
Mm.
And then they left again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I woke up the next morning and you guys were like, why are there candy wrappers in the vents? And I was like, aliens.
I have a couple of questions.
No.
If you don't mind.
Okay.
So if you saw them put the candy wrappers in the vents, why wouldn't you take them out?
Well, you see, look.
Yes, go ahead.
I was really...
I want to hear this.
Please
go ahead.
I was really nervous at the time because, you know, aliens...
I mean, who's going to believe it, right?
Aliens are stealing my candy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, I need to leave proof and evidence that they were here by not touching anything they saw. Because then someone will think I framed it. They'll see my fingerprints on the candy wrappers and not the alien ones.
Right.
So then,
Yeah,
then they'll think, okay, well, I put them there. So that's why I had to, you know, not touch them and just leave them there. And also, I was really tired because it was 3 a.m. and I was like 8 or something. So.
But why do you think that the aliens would come to your house rather than, say, a supermarket?
Well, you see, supermarket has security cameras. And at the time, our house did not have security cameras. So they were like, huh, little kids love candy.
It's not at all alarming that you came up with that quick.
I'm good at lying.
Oh, it's terrifying.
You know, if it weren't for the laughing and stuff, because this is like the dumbest story ever,
yeah.
Then it would have sounded legit, aside from, you know, the aliens.
Right, right.
And though the story totally happened, anything that, like, I said that caused you to, like, not think it, I just misspoke.
If you were to, like, assign a percentage odds of likelihood that you fell asleep and dreamt about the aliens.
Oh, no.
No? And how would you prove or disprove that possibility?
Well, here's what happened. You see, right at the night, I got up right after they left. I used the washroom and I left the lid open when it was closed because I didn't want to make extra noise to alert them that I had woken up.
Yeah.
And then when I went back the next morning and went to my washroom, the toilet lid was still up.
Ah. Now, it could be that the aliens put it up.
No, I put it up.
Okay.
And if, you know, if I was actually dreaming, then the aliens would be in my dream and they wouldn't be able to lift up the toilet because I was dreaming.
Good point.
Anyways, as you can tell, this is a very serious conversation.
Absolutely.
And this absolutely happened. And I didn't, you know, just sneak candies over like the 6 months period or whatever. So, yeah.
Very good. All right. What is your opinion of your father's, he says disapproval, it's really an identification thing. What is your opinion of your father's disapproval of women enhancing themselves with makeup and accessories?
Yes, this is when I first learned my hate of makeup. During the Twitter war you were having with all the 40-year-old cat women.
Meow.
That's when I first learned makeup is evil.
Is that what I said? Did I say makeup is evil?
No, but like I kind of, you know, added a bit of stuff like for myself.
Sure. Enhanced, yeah.
Enhanced it. Because I used to love makeup before that.
Maybe the alien said that makeup was evil.
Silence. Once again, your opinion is objectively incorrect.
So, I mean, that did have a pretty strong impact on you when I was talking about it, right?
For like the couple months or whatever the whole war was going on. So, I think, you know, a little bit of makeup is fine, whatever, you can have that. But I just don't like it when women spend like an hour every day putting their lip gloss on, doing like concealer and like eyeshadow and you know, whatever like nostril stuff they put in their nose. I don't know.
Men like nostrils or something like that? Anyway.
Men don't like nostrils. It was like a meme.
Yeah, yeah.
Very funny. but I mean, I think it's like okay, but you know, develop a personality. Women, you don't need to show your butts and stomachs and, you know, enhance your face.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know, be funny.
Yeah.
Go to therapy if you're, like, weird.
right.
That came across nice.
I get it. Yeah.
But, like...
And if you've got upset or trauma, then find a way to deal with it to free up your energies.
Yeah, honestly. Because here's what happened. If you, like, show all your butt, you know, like, those really short shorts that, like, show even, like, the bottom of your butt cheek and stuff, it's stop.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, instead of doing all that, because if you do that, you're going to find a guy who's, like... Oh, she's pretty. And is going to want to date you for that.
Yeah.
And then somehow you end up getting like married or something. And then you're going to realize, you know, neither of us have any personality. And I don't actually like this guy. He's just attractive.
Yeah.
It's going to be an issue. And you're not going to find someone to actually settle down with. Now, the odds that you're actually going to make it to the stage of marriage are also extremely low. Because you're just dating each other for looks, probably.
Yeah.
That's why you should dress modestly. You can look perfectly nice without, you know, showing your entire butt with some short shorts.
Yep.
You know, get like, you know, a little jacket, some shorts, a bracelet. I have a pretty decent fashion sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to show off because I actually very rarely actually dress up. It's usually just t-shirt and shorts like right now. But I have a pretty good sense of like what's going to look good on me. I know some women don't have as good a sense, but honestly, go out with your friends. They'll help you. So yeah, personally, I'm just saying you can look perfectly nice and, you know, have a perfectly nice personality without having to show off your skin.
Right. You and your dad have talked about how you have an uncanny immorality detector or dysfunction detector, right?
Yeah.
What are the behaviors a person does that allows you to tell so quickly whether they're healthy or unhealthy, good or bad or whatever? Do you have that type of certainty in other areas of your intuition or knowledge?
I have no clue. No clue. It just happens. It's like an instinct. You know, if someone's bad, they might be looking perfectly nice, but I'll just look at them and I'll be like, oh, you're selfish, or oh, you're going to be aggressive, or oh, you're a bad influence.
Mm.
I don't really know what it is. Like sometimes if like, let me think, some bad signs I can think of that I do genuinely look for, although it's not like an immediate, like you're a bad person type of thing. If you're really, like oversharing at the very beginning of like the friendship.
Right.
Like I knew this girl a while back. She was, like literally I met her within 5 minutes of meeting her. She was telling me all about her crush.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I'm sorry, what? I don't know you.
Yeah.
I don't even go to the same.
Boundaries.
Like, you can maybe tell me that if we've, like, you know, met up, like, 20 times or something.
Right.
But, like, what the heck? Now, I'm not saying, like, don't be, like, friendly. You know, if you're an oversharing, but, like, one of those very extroverted people and you meet someone new, you can tell them about, like, your life and stuff, but don't tell them about, like, who you're dating immediately and stuff and, like, oh, who you like and how attractive you think other people are. It's just, like, you know, keep a few boundaries, I think.
Yeah.
Other things are, like, self-control.
Go on.
I don't know if this is, like, I don't know what the best way to put it would be, but, like, if you're ever playing a game with them, and, okay, like, I'll make an example. Occasionally, we'll go to, like, these trampoline parks and stuff, right? And there'll be a game of dodgeball. Usually, there's, like, a dodgeball arena with, like, a bunch of trampolines at the bottom of it. And basically, what'll happen is there will be, like, some 12-year-old girls in there and then some 15-year-old guys who are, like, soccer people and stuff.
Yeah.
And they'll just be, like, whipping the balls everywhere. And like I must win at all costs and stuff.
Well, it's not so the boys. It's they're showing off their physical strength and speed.
But the girls are like, I just got hit in the head 3 times, and my brain has been jostled.
There can be girls with glasses in there too,
dude. I saw this girl who had glasses on her face get whacked in the face twice. Like that'll hurt.
Yeah. Crazy.
So all I'm saying is like, you know, it's fine to show off, but like maybe do that with your own group. If there's another like 15-year-old guy there, you can like...
No, guys don't show off for guys, they show off for girls.
No, what I'm saying is if there's other girls in the arena, you can like, you know...
Oh, hit the guy and show how strong you are with the guy.
Yeah, but even like another girl your age or something, but don't do it with like some 12-year-old...
It's not that impressive if you've been a 12-year-old in the face with glasses.
Yeah, like I saw this one kid got hit in the stomach and like fell over, just clutched your stomach. It's like, guys, you gotta chill.
Right.
So, self-control in like that time way. And also don't be like a sore loser. Like if you know someone, I'm looking at you.
What?
If like you're playing a game and your team loses and you just start yelling, you're like, oh my god, dang it, right?
Oh yeah.
Or whatever, it's like, okay.
Or if you make a mistake in a game, I see this sometimes with pickleball, you make a mistake in a game and you just scream at yourself and stuff. It's like, it's kind of tense, man.
Yeah. So I just say like stuff that you wouldn't want, like stuff that you find embarrassing, like if you were to do it yourself and stuff, is usually a bad sign because you want to go with people who are kind of like you, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like making friends, because if you're with someone like complete opposite, you aren't going to have anything to talk about. You're just going to be arguing.
I think, eye contact and all of that. And somebody who just sort of relaxes.
Don't do someone who stares into your soul. Like eye contact's good, but not just like that.
Unblinking.
Almost unblinking, just like, tell me more about your personality.
Oh yeah, the vampires. You hold up and see if they can see their mirror, right?
Yeah, just like, you know, put your hand across your face like, you good?
Assuming you prefer homeschooling, is there anything about public schooling you wish you had?
Maybe only thing I'd say is...
Getting kicked out?
Yes. No, like, I mean, in some ways, like, a few more seeing like consistent, because I'm sure in public
school. I'm
trying to finish.
Okay, sorry.
I meant like I was starting off the wrong part of the story.
Yeah.
But if like, you know, I'm sure some kids in public school aren't bad.
Yeah.
Of course. Because, you know, a lot of kids who are perfectly good get sent to public school because their parents aren't as great. So maybe having like a consistent group that you can see every day, like of friends or something, would be the only thing. But I kind of have that. They're just online friends. But I mean like in a more concentrated way, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I just said I mean like 20 times in that sentence.
Does peaceful parenting allow for raised voices?
I don't think so, no.
We've never had that here.
No.
I don't think you've ever been yelled at.
No.
Okay. How much television do you watch?
I don't watch television. I think it's... I've maybe watched television 1 hour over the last 3 years.
Are you left alone with media, such as the iPad and so on, very often?
Yeah. I usually just do a lot of drawing.
Yeah.
And
we've talked about, you know, sort of the bad stuff that could be out there on the internet and all of that. And,
yeah.
But no, I mean, I sort of entrust you to...
Yeah, the only website, like I guess you could say social media app I go on ever is Pinterest, because they have good drawing tips.
Yeah, that's right.
And occasionally there'll be a good meme every once in a while.
How important is semi-formal socializing for younger kids? Homeschool, co-op, sports, etc.
Semi-formal?
It means... So formal is like, I don't know, like a dance or something like that. Semi is just, you know, maybe a play date or...
I think very good.
Is it enough to naturally make friends in playgrounds, I think?
Yeah.
So, we've got some socializing. You went to your first party recently, which was nice.
Yeah.
So we've got some socializing going on.
I think a bit organized, though. Like, don't just put all the kids out there, because if there are a few kids that have friend groups, they're going to go with their friends, and there's going to be, like, one or two awkward kids just standing there who are, like, kind of shy and don't want to go up to a friend group and be like, hi, I'm joining you now, kind of. So I think, like, if you're going to have a bunch of kids meet up and it's, like, an organized event, have some parent intervene and be like... Like, you know, take some, like, say your kid has a friend group and be like, hey, you see that kid over there? Go and talk to them or something, right? And ask if they want to join whatever you're doing. And if you don't like them, you can just conveniently have to go somewhere.
Right.
But personally, I think, yeah, maybe have, like, people get arranged into groups if it's, like, more of a, I guess, party or play date thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
the way we did it, too, when you were younger is that I'm very social with kids, as you know.
Very, yeah.
Too social.
Wait,
now.
I was selfish.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you were sending your attention to another kid, I'd poke you and I'd be like, nah.
Well, no, but that's true sometimes. But there are other times where we did have a lot of fun with other kids. Like in the pool, say, I would organize a game of Marco Polo or Smork Says or something like that. We did have a lot of fun with that stuff, right?
Nowadays, it's kind of like a lot of the other teenagers that we know have very big families, so their parents are usually more with the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, if I was the one kid who just had the dad coming around, it'd be a little awkward.
Oh, yeah.
Especially since a lot of these friends are, I'm kind of more new to.
Well, if you're in a social situation with other kids your own age, you want to spend time with them and not with us, right?
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
You know, meet your new friends, and then you can get to know the parents better afterwards.
Yeah. No, in fact, I mean, you're not quite at the, you know, drop me a block from the house kind of thing, but...
In a year or two.
No, and I fully understand that I mean, you want to find your own way socially, and you want to get people to know you without dad's big personality floating around or whatever.
You know,
right?
And I'm pretty good at it, actually, I gotta say.
You are.
Like,
yeah.
I'm kind of shy, like, when it comes to, like, adults and stuff. Like, if I was to, you were to, like, hey, go to the convenience store and, like, buy something, I gotta check something in the car or whatever, I'd be like, no.
Right.
But, like, when it comes to other kids and trying to get into, like, other friend groups, if I'm new in a place, like, again, at a park or something, if I'm over there, I'll walk up to a kid, a few kids who are together, I'll be like, hey, do you guys mind if I join or whatever, right?
Well, and...
But...
Yeah, go ahead.
Even though I'm a little introverted, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
like, I like spending time by myself, usually more than with other people, I'm still good in, like, groups, and I feel like that's more rare.
Yeah, to have both skills.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago, you met a new group of kids, you all sat in a tree and just chatted away for the afternoon,
oh,
right?
Oh, it was the cool tree. It was, like, a huge oak tree or something.
Yeah.
And it was climbable, and we just swung up, and then I fell off twice because the other kid kept rocking it.
Right. No, and that, and you've kept in touch with those kids, and it's been really nice. So, yeah, I mean, when you were younger, expecting you, I don't know, at the age of 7 to go and make new kids at a play center or at a park or something would be kind of ridiculous. But I would go in and we'd organize games, and, you know, if
you know, at the age of 7, other parents occasionally, other dads would be in there, so it wasn't, like, weird.
But now, for sure, you want to go and make your own way socially with less parental, well, no parental involvement if possible, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. That's the major questions that came across. Thanks, everyone, for the questions. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. I know people are really interested because for a lot of people, you're kind of a novel phenomenon, like raised in this kind of way. And
probably one of the first kids
raised peacefully. I think so.
So therefore, I'm cool.
Do you want to do the outro?
First you make me do the intro, then you make me do
the... Hey, the whole question about child labor, man, and you said it's fine.
Yeah, but only if I want to do it. Okay, fine. Bye. All right, we're done.
Like, share, subscribe.
I guess I hope you enjoyed the show. Man, this feels so weird to say. Since there's, like, no audience here.
I know.
It's like, hi, microphone. Ooh, I hope you enjoy.
Your show is lovely. What do you have to say?
That's even worse.
Wait, this is my hand person.
All right, leave. Like, all right. not to you, to him. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed the show.
Like, share, subscribe.
If you want any more, like, ask me any things or whatever, comment, and we may do another one, probably. I've heard there's some new movies coming out soon that might be
worth reviewing.
Yeah, especially some, like, super woke Disney ones, especially.
Oof. Hold our nose and see if we can survive.
Oh, gosh. If anyone's seen, we haven't seen it, probably never will because I have zero interest, but, like, that new Buzz Lightyear movie that Disney made sounds absolutely terrible.
Wretched.
But,
it's too bad. Great character, too.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
No, you sent me to do the outro. Stop.
Go for it.
Yeah, thanks. Never mind. You do. I don't know what you say here.
So, if you enjoyed the show, like to help support philosophy, I'd appreciate that. freedomaid.com/donate. Thanks, Izzy. Thanks, everyone, for the questions. Talk to you soon.
Bye.